So today, the last day of the year, and as you can see on their slides there, we have I have a theme of appointments. And one of the things I think of when I think of appointments, of course, is this here. It's not a Bible. It's my calendar book, and I write down my appointments. And I got all of the appointments that it's almost filled up now because it's end of the year, and all of the appointments I made for work. It is my work calendar, so there are some blank days when I was on holiday, and some of the appointments in it I had to cancel, some of them were postponed, and you know yourself how that is with appointments, and then sometimes it's a stress to keep the appointments, and so they're all in here. I know this here is sort of like old school. Most of you probably have like everything in your hand, these calendars in your hand, these. But this is how I did my appointment. And as I look at my calendar here, I see that we only have actually two more days in this year. And I made an appointment for today that I should keep. I have to bring a message today, and we're going to be looking at divine appointments in Hebrews chapter 9. And you might think to yourself, the book of Hebrews, or the letter to the Hebrews, right now we're going through the letter to the Romans with Pastor Jeff, but I wanted to spring to another part of the New Testament, the book of Hebrews. You might think, what do we have to do with the letter to the Hebrews? It's a letter written to Hebrews to help them to understand that Jesus is the Messiah, the promised Messiah, how things in the Old Testament fit into the New Testament, and what does that have to do with us today. And one of the fascinating things I find about the book of Romans, or the letter to the Romans, but the Hebrews, it's sort of like a two-way highway. It connects the Old Testament with the New Testament. For those of the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, it connects them to Jesus into the New Testament, how he fits in with the promises of the Old Testament, how he fits in with their the worship of the temple and the tabernacle. But it also is another way of connecting us to the Old Testament, who are non-Jewish believers, the heritage that comes from the Old Testament, from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And Jesus himself said to the woman at the well at Samaria, salvation is of the Jews. So as we look into the letter to the Hebrews, we're going to look at chapter 9. And this deals with the divine service. First of all, it deals with the divine service of the earthly tabernacle, and talks about the covenant that Moses made, and how Jesus is the mediator of a new covenant. And then we'll come down to our text that I would like to look at that contains these divine appointments. It's found in Hebrews chapter 9, verse 24 through 28, and I like to read those. Says, for Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest enters into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he entered in to the put away our sins by the sacrifice of himself. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear our sins, to bear the sins of many, And unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. So our text deals with Jesus did not enter into the tabernacle of Moses. He didn't enter into the temple of Solomon, but he entered into, which were figured in, into heaven itself and appeared in our place. And he didn't offer the blood of bulls and goats. He offered his own blood as a sacrifice for us. And at the end of the chapter, we find that there's a similitude, a comparison made in the chapter. And this is where I want to go with today. And it begins with as, and it makes the similitude, the comparison with the word so. You notice here, and as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And this is used quite frequently. In fact, I think one of the most familiar ones is the time that when Jesus was talking with Nicodemus, and they were talking, and Nicodemus was confused, how can a man be born again? How does that work? And Jesus said this to him in John chapter 3, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. So we have that in our text here. And as is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once offered to bear the sins of many. And it's making this comparison to show that the Christ was only need to be sacrificed once, because his sacrifice was all sufficient and perfect. And I think this is a very interesting in this chapter, how the author of Hebrews, he's sort of bringing us with the subject matter he's talking with, he's bringing us into the story. He's not only making a comparison, but he's bringing us into it by the subject matter of death. As you notice there, he says, and as is appointed unto men once to die. Here's our first the divine appointment. And of course, in the book of Romans, it says, whereas by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for all have sinned. Here's another as and so found in the letter to the Romans, chapter 5. And as is appointed unto men once a death. Death confronts all of us. There's no respecter of person to it. And it's an appointment we'd rather cancel, but it's not in our power to do so. It's interesting that David said something very profound in the Old Testament about death. And there was the time when King Saul was pursuing David, was seeking to catch and to kill him. And one time David says this to Jonathan, Saul's son, truly, as the Lord lives and as my soul lives, there is but a step between me and death, a destiny that is someday but a step away. And as I said, death is no respecter of persons. It's something we don't like to talk about, but it's something that's very certain. As it's mentioned in our text, it's an appointment that we can't cancel. We're all confronted with it. And yet it is uncertain as far as the time and the place is concerned. And Solomon wrote of this one time in the book of Ecclesiastes. He said, the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to us all. Death is also solitary. We have to experience it alone. There's none of our friends that are with us that can go through this experience with us. It's also a separation, parting us from everything in this physical realm, family, friends, work, pleasures, possessions, our accomplishments, even this body itself. And it's something that's final. It's once you pass this point of no return, there's no replay. It's over. Just like the days of this year, we can't go back and live them. They're past. And so as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Another appointment that's very that we don't like to think about. And not only is the author of the Hebrews, this letter, he not only brings us in personally to this text with this subject of death, but now he shows us that we're accountable to the subject, the story that's in this chapter or in this letter to the Hebrews. Jesus once said to them who have been given much, of them will be much required. Yes, the judgment is appointment that we just would not like to think about, much less talk about. But of course, the scriptures themselves talk about it. Solomon ends his book of Ecclesiastes by a very grave statement. For God shall bring every work into judgment, and every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Jesus himself once said one time that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account of in the day of judgment. And when he was sending the 12 out, he mentions this among the other things to them. He said to them, whosoever will not receive you nor hear your words when you depart from that house or that city, shake off the dust of your feet, assuredly I say to you, it will be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in that day of judgment than for that city. It's very graphic. It's very frightening what was showed to us in the book of Revelation. I think this is one of the things that really convicted me before I was a Christian to turn to Christ. John writes there in the last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, he says, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was no place found for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to his works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's a very graphic and frightening description of this. When you think of the book of Revelation, there's so many symbols and things that seem to be mystical or seem to be a mystery involved. This picture is so direct and so plain. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. Thanks and praise be to God for the appointed time when Jesus came to save us from our tragic destiny. This is an appointment that we're glad that took place. Paul writes to the Galatians and he says, but when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. He also writes, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangs on a tree. Also, the Apostle Peter, he talks about this in his first letter. He says, for Christ also suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive by the Spirit. And truly, this is the great news. This is the greatest news to mankind. It's sort of like a few weeks ago, we were in the Christmas scene with the angels, and the angel says to the shepherd, fear not, behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. And this is the gospel that the Apostle Paul proclaimed. When he wrote to the Corinthians, he wrote, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, in that he was buried, in that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. This is good news bar none. And this is why when Paul is writing to the Church of Rome, he says at the beginning of this letter, he says, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, to the Jews first, and also to the Greeks, that is the non-Jews, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. That is, a righteousness that is by faith from first to the end, from start to finish. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then our text goes on to tell us of the great expectation, another appointment that will soon be coming. He goes on to say, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And I think this is great, because it implies some very important things. It implies that we, the redeemed, have hope that Christ is coming again. And as we watch and wait for him, we have this promise that our sins are taken away. They will no longer, we are no longer condemned. As stated in Romans, there's no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. It says that he doesn't appear, appears without sin. They've been taken away unto salvation. And also, we have this confidence that he who has begun a good work in us will complete it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And this salvation is not only to us as believers, he's not only begun it, but it's to this dead and dying world. It's as Pastor Jeff has been going through the book of Romans, you might remember a passage that we went through in chapter 8. It says this, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed in us. For the creation waits in eager expectation for the children of God to be revealed. For the creation was subjected to frustration, not by its own choice, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself may be liberated from its bondage to decay and brought into freedom and glory of the children of God. We know that the whole creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth right up to the present time. Not only so, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the spirits, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption to sonship, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we are saved. By the hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what he has already have, or we are what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not yet have, we wait patiently. So we, the redeemed, are waiting and watching for him to come the second time, This is a great appointment that it's still open for us, for him to keep, and for us to that are redeemed to enjoy. The question is, are you on the waiting list? I'd like to end this message this morning with this verse in Hebrews chapter 10. For yet a little while, and he that shall come will come, and will not tarry. And in the meantime, the just shall live by faith. A quotation from the prophet Habakkuk, which is found in the New Testament. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're thankful for your mercy and grace toward us. We're thankful that even though through sin we have to face the appointment of death and judgment, but Jesus has set us free. We're thankful that he offered himself that we could have forgiveness, that our sins could be taken away, and that one day we will be in fellowship with him, that we will be, not only we, but this world will be restored to be in fellowship with you. We pray that you bless now the words of this, your words, that you would use them to your honor and glory, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.